All right, it is 5:15, and I will call the Finance Committee meeting to order. And let's just go around the room to indicate who's here. Audrey Nelson.
Julie Osmus.
Andrew Plowman.
Sarah Swedberg.
Judy Thompson.
Brian Grammets.
Steve Okins.
All right, thank you very much. We do not have anyone here for public comment. And so we'll move on to action item. And actually, I'm going to ask for an addition to the agenda tonight. We'll add it as E. And for those of you who were at Public Works last night, this agenda item is a reappropriation for the Dorothy Olson Aquatic Center pool resurfacing. So is everyone okay with adding that onto the agenda?
Yeah, thanks to whoever put the work into having that ready today.
All right. So we will do that, and we will go back now. Our first action item is a special assessment hearing for weed grass mowing. And we're going to Judy for that. Is that correct? All right. Ms. Thompson.
On your agenda, there's a request to set a public hearing for October 7th for the unpaid weed and grass mowing removal charges. This is done annually. It's for people that have not paid their lawn mowing to us, and it's a process that needs to be followed in order for us to place them on their tax statements for payable 2020. So I'm asking your committee to consider this, take it to the full council meeting, and then have a hearing set. So, you know, your recommendation at the September 16th council meeting would be to set a public hearing for October 7th. So we can notify the individuals listed below that they can appear at the public hearing.
Motion to recommend that council set a public hearing for October 7th, 2019.
Second.
Thank you, Julie. We have a motion and a second to recommend to set a public hearing for October 7th for special assessment hearing for unpaid weed grass mowing removal charges. I just have one question. Do we have any repeat offenders in there, or are the fees that are on there like a one-time thing? Do you know?
Two of the individuals, the Joseph Jurassic and David Parker, they had two of them.
Okay. Because I know we've had a conversation about some people just using this as a service to get their lawn mowed.
So.
Okay, thank you. Are there any further questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Our next item is a budget amendment for Main Street event. And I believe we are going to Sarah for that. So, Ms. Swedberg.
So, Wilmer Main Street has recently been in conversation and would like to begin organization of a new event in town. It kind of piggybacks off of what Public Works has done during Public Works Week, where they allow the community members to come and families can, the kids can kind of explore some of the larger equipment they have. This would be very similar, but at a larger scale. So we would look at closing a couple streets down and inviting area industries to bring a large vehicle of their choosing downtown for those families to then participate in this event and explore. There would be some portion kind of tied to the Artists on Main Street work that we're doing, so we'd have some sort of outdoor play kind of artist area too. Then we've got a couple projects that would like to locate during this time as well to kind of get some of that face time with the families. We'd probably look at doing something with potentially the robotics team or Boy Scout or something like that too, to kind of play in with that theme. The reason we're bringing this before you tonight is that we would like to request the ability to charge for these businesses to come downtown so that we can cover marketing costs for this event and make it something that the businesses that are getting involved with this event feel like it's a credible, worthwhile event for themselves to participate in as well. So we're looking at a fee of, proposing $100 per business to participate with a goal of 16 to 20 businesses. And we anticipate that taking about two blocks, length, so about 600 feet worth of space on the street. It's been vetted through the Wilmer Main Street Board as well as their Economic Vitality Committee, who's kind of taking on some of the organization of the event. We also think this fits in well with some of the other efforts in town to promote CDL training at the high school and some of the other larger industry and training and vocational jobs that are going on as well. And we would certainly invite those businesses who are participating to have some information about employment and different things with them as well, if they were interested in that. So the recommendation would be to review this and forward to council for a motion to approve the amendment to allow for revenues from this event to help cover those event costs.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All right, thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve amendment for the Main Street budget to allow for revenues from the Touch a Truck event to cover costs. So is there a date that you're anticipating?
October 12th is this. It's Saturday. It's
okay.
very short. But we've gotten a couple toolkits. This happens in numerous other communities throughout
okay.
the state. And so Winona and Olivia actually just put on a transportation event as well. And so we feel confident that because we're able to receive some of those toolkits, we've already got a start
ready
on the marketing and a start on some of that component of it.
Julie, a question?
I'm thinking it was just, was it just in the Sunday paper about Winona's?
Yeah.
But that's where I saw it. Okay.
Yeah,
I thought, why don't we do that? Okay.
Last month, maybe, I think it was.
Okay.
Yep.
And then, was there discussion or did we think about going, having all the trucks park on the Quick Trip empty lot?
I thought about that as one potential option. Part of the thought, we'd like to locate, so it'll be a Saturday morning from about 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And we'd like to kind of locate them near some of the core restaurants and offer some lower cost lunch options for families. And so the thought would be to locate kind of between 6th and 4th on Litchfield Avenue.
Okay.
So that we can involve the Goodness and Somali Star and Azteca, Rosita's, and really promote just kind of involvement of downtown businesses as well.
Okay.
But yes, that was certainly considered. And one of our thoughts too was Block 50, but our concern was parking. And if we're going to be trying to attract several hundred families downtown, and we're going to take up the main parking lot, then where are we going to go with all of those cars? So
that's why I was thinking of
yeah,
the Quick Trip lot, because
lot,
then there could be parking
sure
on the street and in all those parking lots around there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I was trying to remember what it was for, but I think there was a ask of them once before to do parking, and they had turned it down.
Okay.
It had to do with insurance, and it had to do
yeah,
with a bunch of other things.
Issue,
yeah, sure.
And, but I don't remember what the event was that it was asked about, but
okay,
they had said no. So.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions? Any further discussion?
Just a comment. I think it's a great, anything that can be done to promote local businesses and at the same time giving families something
yeah
to do, so you know, and keep that free as well.
Absolutely.
That it's a kind of a win-win for everybody. I mean, I'll be there with my boys, they'll love it. And yeah, I think, like, you know, like was mentioned, I think it's a small little tag price for a business to get some good exposure. So
mm-hmm,
I think the main businesses around here should be excited.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right,
who's contacting the businesses?
It'll be a joint effort. I am working on drafting the final letter and kind of registration form. And then we've got a team of about 4 people on that kind of committee that'll be doing
okay
the majority of the contacting.
Okay. I didn't know if it was all falling on you.
No.
Okay.
Nope. We're making sure it doesn't.
Any other questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Thank you. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds
yeah
good. All right, our next item is purchase policy, and just comment, I've asked that we receive this for information tonight, and just, we've talked about that before, about when we change policy to take the information, and since we just got it within the last day, that would be my request is that we receive it for information and bring it back at the next finance committee meeting for a decision. So, but I believe that Mr. Grimes is going to take this away.
Well, yeah, as I've been here in Wilmer now for a little over 3 months now, if you've noticed, I've been pecking away at little things that have been caught or brought to my attention. And I said, you know, back in 2018, the state changed the statute on purchasing. You have a copy of it, it's in your material. And it went from under 25,000, 25 to 100, and then 100 and above, you had to have sealed bids. It went to 25 and 175,000. And that was to reflecting that it hadn't changed in over 10 years and cost of inflation of products, no matter what you buy, you know, went up in price. So the state recognized that, and there's two things that I would suggest, and the one thing would be to increase amount to trickle down to the city of Wilmer. But the second thing would be just to state that we follow the state statute for purchasing. Because what happens is the same thing that happened here, is if you actually put numbers in your policy, and then when the state changes it, then you've got to go change that. And in other cities I've worked for, we've always tried to keep numbers out when we're referencing a state statute. And we just let that statute drive the limits, whether it's 175 or 10 years from now, maybe it'll be 225, who knows. So what I did with this was just reference that we will be following Minnesota state statute, and that it's 471.345, and everything else basically stayed the same. I didn't see any reason to change the administrator's purchasing up to 25,000. That actually ties in quite nicely, because up to 25,000 is across the counter purchases. You know, there's no quotes, there's no nothing. So I didn't see any reason to change that. So the only thing that is being proposed was basically just removing all the language about the dollar figures and that, paragraphs 1, 2, 3, and just say the city follows Minnesota statute, 471.345. The other change that we had was in the first paragraph after the note, I think it's on page 2, it's not the policy of the city to accept the lowest bidding vendor. The acceptance of the bids may be based on a number of factors, including one of the things that staff has been talking about, and we basically talked about that for the vehicles, for the squad cars also, although squad cars get delivered, that's something that changed in the last probably 4 or 5 years. But you used to have to go get the squad cars. And if you had to go get three of them, you had to have four people ride up in a car, go get those three vehicles, drive them back. You had gas and food and probably overtime, you know, for labor. And to save $50 from your local vendor, you know, was $50 higher than the low cost. And so I just included cost, delivery cost. Gives us something to say, what is the delivery cost, and is it a reasonable amount of money? Now, some cities have actually put in things like 5%, you know, the local bidder, if they're within 5% of the low bid, they get the bid. Now, some cities have put in like a dollar figure, you know, like $100. The problem with that, and as well as the 5%, is if they're a dollar over, if it's $100 difference, then they come in there $101, and the local contractor is going to say, it's only a dollar, you know. So there's a problem with just setting the limit. So it's more of a political problem, it's not a mechanical administrative problem. So I just had delivery costs included in there, because that's something we do look at. What's it going to cost to get it here? And it should be part of the discussion. So that's the only two changes in the policy. And you know, like I say, I'm as I find things that might be tweaking, what I'm trying to do is set the stage for whomever comes after me, that they just don't have to worry about all these things. You know, we're tidying the house is what I've been telling the department heads, just trying to tidy everything up.
Okay. Brian, I had asked you before, and I would just ask you to share again about the, you made some good comments about the competitive bidding or the getting sealed bids versus the process of quotes.
Right.
So would you just walk through that a little bit and your observation of how we're doing, I mean, some of those things too?
Yeah, you know, when you, if you're under 25,000, my administrator policy is if it means a lot of money to you as an employee or a department head, if what you're buying is a lot of money in your mind, check with a couple of places. And I'm not saying you go look for a hammer and you look at 12 different hardware stores to find that hammer, okay? Hammers, just go buy a hammer. But if you think $200 or $500 is a lot of money, it's a lot of money for the city too. And so then go check around, okay? So that's the across the counter sales. Then you've got the 25,000 to 175 in state statute that you're supposed to get two quotes, and you're supposed to maintain those quotes for 1 year. They got to go in the file. They have to stay there. So if somebody questions that, you can open up the file and say, "We checked. We didn't just get one quote." Now I'm going to tell you right now, there are times when you can only find one quote. That product is so unique, and there's nobody in 10 states that's going to do it. And you note that we tried, we went to five places and we only got one quote. Then you reach the 175 mark, and then you have to have the sealed bids, and that's, you know, plans and specs, or at least specifications. And that's where, like the police department, they spec out their squad car. It's got to have this and this and this and this, and all the details. And then you advertise, and then you receive sealed bids, and then you open them up in a open manner, and you read it and you jot it down. Okay, so I believe that, you know, since I've been here, I've seen lots of department heads through the years, and a lot of good ones, and maybe not so good ones, but the level of responsibility that I see with the department heads here in Wilmer, I've not seen anything that, you know, like I wouldn't trust them between the 25 and the 175 $1,000 figures that say that they, I just don't think they're going to be able to do this. No, I think they can. Matter of fact, it's on the other side of the coin that if the city of Wilmer keeps it at 100 and the state's at 175, in essence, you've got a $75,000 window there that we're adding more work to our department heads. When they could just go out and get quotes, now they have to go through the sealed bid process. And if you want to do more with less, you know, philosophy, you would say, let's give, not only because of inflation to go to 175, but let's give our department heads that ability to get out and do their job without saying, oh, now you're going to spend like 6 hours putting all this stuff together to get the same results. And, you know, you can say, well, are quotes as good as bids? And I say, yes, they are, because usually, like I say, it's rare when you only have one quote, but when other people know you're getting quotes, it's under $175,000, they cut it down just like it's bids. They're bidding. You know, bidding and quotes mean the same thing in those situations, even though, you know, technically it's probably not. So when I look at this, I look at the department heads, and the just now the difference between the two, we were the same as the state. My recommendation is to go with the state numbers, and it actually helps the department heads by not having to go through the sealed bid process for something that if you can't trust them at $99,999, you know, raising that up to the state statutory limit, you know, then you can't trust them at the high point, you can't trust them at the low point. I think you had good department heads here. I've not seen anything that would say, yeah, don't don't give them 175 limit, because they'll, you know, they'll sell the farm. I've not seen that. Matter of fact, I was mentioning earlier, I said, you know, it's the under $25,000 one that is bothersome to me, because you can, you know, like right now, as I mentioned earlier, I need a part, and it's a $200 part for a truck, and I one employee likes a particular auto parts supply because his neighbor works there, but they could get it $20 cheaper if they went to a different one, and they go there. And so the under $25,000 is actually less regulated, less open to public view than the 25 up to 175 for quotes, because that's a public, you have to be able to show the paper, and we have to be able to show the city council. The 175 and above, that's an open bidding thing. That's going to be public. That's, everybody's going to see that. The one that's probably more worrisome, and there's more sales, is the under 25,000, where if you can get your department heads and supervisors saying, your preference over a Ford or a Chevy, your preference over O'Reilly's or Advanced Auto Parts is immaterial. You go to where we get the best product for the lowest price. And we spend probably more money on that little stuff. And that if you're going to not trust somebody, don't trust them on the under $25,000. That's where you have no control. The other stuff, it's all public. So I would say raising it helps out the department head by being able to go out and get quotes instead of having to bid it. And like I say, I've not seen anybody here in Wilmer that I would say don't give them that authority, because they have to bring it back to you anyway. Even though they've got the quotes, they're going to bring that back and say, we got two quotes, and they're going to show you what those two quotes are. So it's all above board.
Okay, thank you. I really appreciate your sharing your thoughts on this, and also the comments that you had made about leaving the other authorization limits as they are. I think the goal would be to help us do the best with the taxpayer dollars and with the staff, but I really do appreciate you taking the time to share. I think understanding the quotes and the other is important. And with all of the changes that we've had, I think I also respect your comments about department heads, et cetera, with that. So anybody else have any other questions of Brian, or are you okay with just receiving this and coming back with it in 2 weeks, or what would you like to do?
Question.
Go ahead, Julie.
Did we raise what the city administrator from 20 to 25?
That's been raised for a couple, three years
at
now.
Some point,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Was it like 15 up to 25?
No, it was 20.
Oh, was it 20?
Yeah, it was 20. That goes back to at least 2011. So.
Okay, before my time.
Okay. Yeah. We were asked to raise it to 100,000 by our last city administrator, and we said no.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Okay.
I see no value.
Yeah, the department, the request from the previous one was to raise the department heads from 5 to 25, and the administrator from 25 to 100, bringing them both up, and this does not do that.
Okay.
No.
That's why I just wanted to comment. I appreciate that. That was a real source of concern, and I think listening to you explain kind of how the pieces fit together with purchasing, sure. I appreciate that. So
the between 5 and 25, still the department head still needs to get the administrators to sign off on it.
Okay.
Yeah. And while we're talking like purchasing and contracts and things, the other thing that I would do, and I would recommend, it doesn't have to be in policy, but when let's say the Four Seasons shelter at Robbins Park, okay, that comes in at $1 million, and the city council approves the bids and authorizes to proceed and, you know, sign contracts and all that. And then what I would always ask the city council to do was, in that same motion, and to authorize the city administrator or manager to have the flexibility on change orders up to 5%. Because what happens is you get, we're on site, we need to make a decision right now, the concrete is coming, and we need that change order, and it's like, no, we gotta wait 2 weeks.
It's gonna cost you more money.
Send the concrete back. And so I always, so that doesn't have to be in the policy, that's a project by project, and sometimes they'd say, well, give me the flexibility to do $25,000 worth of decision making for change orders, and then when that a change order happens, I'll bring it back to the council and say, this is what happened, they found a whatever, and we had to do this, and I approved it because the concrete was coming, you can't send it back. And okay. And so that's something I would recommend you do on a case-by-case basis. But this 25 here, this is more like, we need to buy something.
The checks and balances in regards to the change orders is that the budgets that are approved by this committee usually has a 10% contingency in there. And so that 5% still would be within budget. It would be when it would exceed that budgeted amount that it would have to come back to the committee for changes.
Okay. To help me understand the process on something that was in the expenditures at the last, our last packet, there was an infrared camera that was for $8,000. So I was asking Jim Feld if that was something that we got for the drone, or were we replacing the infrared camera that we got, 15 or 20 years ago? And then he said that wasn't his, so now I'm guessing it was the fire department's. Okay, so in that process then, this is an $8,000 infrared camera. It must have been something that was in the budget. Yes, okay. And then it's over $5,000, so you had to sign off on that he had some quotes. I mean, I can look at that and be confident that there was a process that he just didn't go by.
Yep.
And that there was the best
actually the deal. The one that's probably the clearest in my mind was there was the Jaws of Life in the budget for the fire department, and they came across the supplier, the dealer came across the one they used as to show people, and I give you a good deal on it.
Yeah.
And so
the demo model.
So the fire chief sends me an email and says, here's what I found. We have 35 in the budget, but if we buy this one, it's like a scratch and dent sort of thing.
Right.
We can get it for 17. And I just go like, approved.
Okay.
And so he keeps the email, and so he's got
catches it to the documents and comes up to finance, and then we know that it's went through the channels.
Yep. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So you and I had a couple conversations about this, but I think Julie's question, I think, brings to light the questions that we as council members have and our knowledge of the procedures and our trust for those procedures.
Sure.
and so, you know, I think we all want to say we want to get over that and who is it we don't trust kind of thing, but that's kind of the reality. And then on the reverse side, that we ask the questions appropriately with how did we make these decisions. But I think it's also our responsibility to know how we made those decisions, and I think reviewing this really helps, at least helps me to have more confidence in some of the questions that have come up in the past with how did we do that.
And some of those internal controls are if the proper signatures aren't on the documents and it comes up to accounts payable, then that will raise a flag and Shannon will check into that. And if the limits aren't at right as far as authorization. And then there's always the accounting coordinator and myself review the process bills. And so, and then it comes to the council on the list as you get, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets reviewed.
We sometimes are accused of of too black and white sometimes, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think it is our responsibility to make sure the the dollars, just as you're indicating, are spent in a manner no different than we would do in our own homes.
Yep.
So. Any other questions?
Not a question. I guess I would just add, I like having multiple firewalls, so to speak, but not firewalls that, I mean, firewalls that we can sit as a committee and we can know that they're in place, and then as a council, we can know that they're in place, but then we can take our hands off of them and know that the correct measures and steps are being taken, and it's not something that we have to sit and look at each individual one of them. It's more of a well-drafted policy
and
that allows a better flow.
One of the audit findings from last year, and you may not recall it, was that, and a lot, sometimes this is done with turnover and staffing and stuff like that, is that the quotes were obtained, but they weren't kept in the file. And so when the auditors came and checked, they didn't have the file, and so that became an audit finding, and now that procedure has been cleaned up in that department so that they're keeping all those. And we've worked with departments on it. It's just as easy sometimes to send the quotes up to the, with the invoice and the purchase, and that way the auditors will see that they're all right there. So,
And just, I think just for assurances, the department heads are the ones that are contacting me saying, here is the process. I need your approval to go over this amount because of the budget amount. So it's not like somebody's got to shepherd and watch over the department heads. They're bringing that to me and saying, here's the process and I need your permission. And that's good.
Yeah.
That's good because that shows that they're paying attention to their purchases. And so I just impart that, you know, to you also that they're just not running around willy-nilly and seeing what they can get by with. What I've been seeing is they've been really astute to the policy and the budget.
But that's been a concern of mine with the turnover with the city administrators is like, are we supposed to be catching some of this? Or people are saying, you approved it. I assumed there was a process.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have a conversation because that's...
Okay.
Yes.
I've
shared this, I think, with you too, though. You know, our documents say that it's reviewed by you. But
yep.
There were lots of times that when you asked the question, you knew that they weren't reviewed previously. And so for us to have that confidence that those procedures are in place is helpful.
Yeah, and I'm just going to tell you right now, 3 days a week is an inhibitor because Steve would be saying, I'm putting my agenda together, and I'm saying, I'm going home. And I'm going, you're going to have to send your agenda out.
Why are you here tonight?
And I won't even see it.
Monday was a holiday. He wasn't here Monday.
Oh.
To be quite honest, I literally, professionally feel, and I've said this to Audrey, I feel bad because, yeah, my name's on that, but business has to keep going. And and when I get back, I'll see it. And we'll review it and we'll talk about it. But there's some things that have to, the world keeps turning.
Yeah.
And it has to keep going.
So based off of our conversation, are you okay with waiting till the next 2 weeks or is there any?
Well, and one of the discussions I remember the committee talking about is that since we're back to the committee structure, this would allow council members who aren't at the committee.
To review.
Yeah, one whole cycle. Yeah. So they'll have this information, and so the action will really follow there and give them opportunity to give input if they have questions as well.
So we'll ask that this is on the agenda for our next meetings. All right? Okay. All right.
And why do we have to wait 2 weeks?
I asked to wait 2 weeks just from a standpoint of we sort of established that if it's a policy change, there's that time to review it and to look at it and bring it back the second time. We don't have to.
Okay.
This one, to me, I had lots of questions, and as I indicated, I think that we've gotten good information from our interim administrator.
Okay.
So, are you okay with that, or do you
want
to?
Yes, yes, okay. Yep. Right. I just was trying to understand why we had to wait 2 weeks. Okay.
We're also going to be bringing back, what's the next policy? We're bringing back the cash we talked about.
The fund balance policy.
Fund balance policy, and we talked about doing that same thing with, you know, having time to look at it. And I guess the other thing I'm sensitive to is just from the timing of this material was not available. I didn't see it till today. It probably was out there yesterday,
yeah,
I don't know.
It, yeah.
But I didn't see it till today, so for us to have time to digest it, that's my request too. So.
Yep, makes sense.
Okay, our next item is the preliminary budget for the local option sales tax, and Mr. Opens, it looks
yes,
like
Madam
it's
Chair
you.
And members of the committee, as we've been going through the local option sales tax process, and we're successful in getting the authorization from the last legislative session to implement the local option sales tax effective October 1st of this year. The committees are still working through, the citizen committees are still working through their projects and recommendations, and we'll be bringing that to the park board through the 2020 budget process. And so until those are finalized, we will have one quarter of collections for 2019, estimated at $250,000 a month is what our estimates are, and that's based on numbers that we're getting from Candyway County, who's actually collecting that half a cent. It'll be slightly less than them, but I think that's a pretty good estimate. Plus, we will also probably be getting some contracts for architects and engineers that the council is authorizing. So our recommendation at this point is to just adopt a general overall preliminary budget of the $750,000 that is projected to come in the last quarter. Have it allocated for professional services because there will not really be any hard cost this year. And then during the budget process, when the project budgets come to the park board and the council for approval, we will then go back and reallocate this so that it matches up to statute as far as the dollar amounts that were approved for each one of the projects. So this is kind of a catch-all budget until we get to that point. And so it would be our recommendation to pass that resolution. And I just noticed that the printing of the resolution, the revenue column got extended, so we will correct that for the council packet. I apologize for that.
All right. I honestly hadn't noticed that. I thought we were just spending money.
I didn't notice it either until I looked at my copy here, my hard copy. Okay. So.
All right. So you are asking us to pass a resolution or to make a motion to pass a resolution for a preliminary budget for $750,000.
This will allow finance then to record any kind of contracts that the council approves for preliminary architectural engineering, receive and account for the monies that will be coming in. The first proceeds will not come in until November because the tax retailers have, I believe, 10 days to do their collection into the state. The state does an estimate is what they do. The procedure they do is they give an estimated amount and then reconcile it 45 days after the month. So this is the same procedure that we've had in the last two local option sales tax that we've had for the library and for basically the Industrial Park, Civic Center, and Bike Pass.
So this creates a formal home for that money.
It allows us to create the codes and have an accounting for it and then redistribute it accordingly afterwards.
Yeah. So, Steve, is the last part of the sentence supposed to read and reappropriate to the funds to the final project budgets as recommendations are received?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So I make a motion.
All right.
I'll second that motion.
All right, we have a motion and a second to pass a resolution to approve the preliminary budget of $750,000 for the local option sales tax and to reappropriate the funds to the final project budgets as recommendations are received. We all understand that? All right, no questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, on to item E, and we have a document here that has what we're being asked.
I think we have.
Yeah, I gave everybody.
Oh, you gave everybody.
Yeah,
one.
It's not going
I'm sorry.
On.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. No. So, as we mentioned, this was brought to us at the Public Works meeting, and I am going to let Steve just walk through this.
Yeah, I had conversations with City Engineer Christensen as far as I was asked about this action that happened last night, and we discussed the as you see there, the pot patch trailer, and we talked about that at our last meeting and reappropriated $4,500 of that for the airport. That left a little over $44,000 still there, so it's there's enough
How
there to cover the amount and
it was like magic. It was magic.
And so and some of the questions at our last finance meeting was, do we have contact with the departments and let them know that we're taking these dollars and that would be our recommendation after conversations, is that the pot patch trailer's been purchased. These dollars are excess in the capital fund and would be available if that's what the committee and council wanted to do to authorize this project as recommended.
And then we would, the $150,000 would remain? That amount would not change?
That amount at this point, I think I safely can say, is being proposed in the mayor's budget at this point. Now that if it stays there, between now and when the mayor officially proposes it or when the council gets it, that's up to the council and the mayor to decide.
But there hadn't been discussion of changing that dollar value?
No.
Okay.
No.
So it's kind of like all or nothing.
But the comment that was made last night was there was a tentative estimate that to do the rest of the work is going to be about $100,000. And so it is possible that that figure could be reduced or, I mean, from 150 to 100.
That was Sean's fear.
Well,
that was worst case scenario.
Yeah, that would be the worst case scenario. And that the estimates are good today as they would be maybe next year.
Right.
There's always the item to it.
Plus, assuming we can do our own concrete work.
This already includes doing that one piece of concrete work, but the 100,000 is actual concrete work to the deck.
It's got to be milled down.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
What I heard from Mr. Christensen was a concern that it would be removed completely.
Right.
Not necessarily reduced, but completely removed. I think the important
There's
that we
no
recognize it needs to
it's
be done.
Not, it's not been touched since since the mayor reviewed the last budget presentation that Steve and I had, and it's in the hands of the city council as of the 16th, so.
Okay, all right.
So. Okay, I'll make a motion to adopt the resolution authorizing the reappropriation of $43,447 from the 2019 CIP prop patch?
Yeah, pro patch. That's an
trailer purchase to the 2019 DOAC pool resurfacing project.
I suppose I will second that.
We have a motion and a second. From the sounds of the second, I think maybe we need discussion here.
No, I'm joking around. I'm fully in favor. I think that this was a better, I like this way of financing.
Yeah,
it
that was a good point you brought up last night on that.
It's clean.
Yes.
All right. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. We are on to discussion items and pretty much just reviewing our meeting schedule here, right?
Yes, that's true. My arrow's gone, so. Then Julie's going swimming.
Yeah. I am. No, I'm going to go talk to Gavin, see his first day kid here and when.
You have some highlighted items on there, and this is based on discussion that Administrator Grumitz and the mayor and I have had in working through the budget process, in that the mayor is tentatively planning on presenting his budget to the full council on the 16th at the council meeting, and then it would then be recommended that it come to the finance committee to continue to work on it, review it, and maybe make some recommendations. Has been done in the past where the finance committee will invite the entire council to a couple meetings. One, the first one would be to have any discussions or answer any questions they may have in setting the preliminary levy. The preliminary levy, once set, can be reduced, but it cannot be increased. And so sometimes there's some discussion on that. And one of the things that Brian has brought from New Ulm is that items that have been requested or recommended that did not get funded due to one reason or another, not enough funding or whatever, will be available to the council and the committee to review. And then also what will 1 mil increase on the tax levy generate? And so you'll be able to have that discussion and add back in or increase the preliminary levy to an amount maybe more than what the mayor is proposing, because it can be lowered after that, but it cannot be raised. And you'll have that information. And there's been discussion of possibly holding a special meeting to do that on the 26th of September, which is a Thursday.
So kind of just looking for input, our regular meeting is on the 19th, and at that time we will receive the mayor's budget. We also have the audit that should be reviewed, and I was asking Mr. Oakens tonight before the meeting about, does it make sense that we should try to deal with receiving the audit and dealing with that prior to us making decisions? So kind of finishing the year before we take on the new year. I remember the discussion last year also when we received the audit. It also brings some clarity to receipts and, I mean, some of the steps that we walk through with as the audit's presented to us. So I'm asking everyone in the room their thoughts on when we might want to do that. And I also asked, I believe that that's usually also presented to the full council.
It has the last couple of years when we've had work sessions.
Mm-hmm. With that. So if we scheduled a meeting on the 26th, and invited the full council, could we receive the audit and have a discussion about the budget, or is that too much?
What is it we're doing on the 30th then?
Yeah, that's...
Well, the 30th...
That's the last Monday.
Right.
The 30th discussion that I've been in is that you would set the preliminary levy, because that has to be certified to the county auditor by the end of September.
So the 30th is basically just a motion to set the levy, a legal motion to set the levy.
I thought all the things that you're talking about discussing on the 26th is what we were going to discuss on the 30th.
No, the discussion would take place on the 26th to make the recommendation to vote on the 30th.
It's my understanding there's a number of things that is taking up the majority of the schedule on the 30th.
We're not just coming together to take a vote.
No, okay. No. There would be a special.
One on the 30th is a special city council meeting. And then after that's over with, you would go into your mini retreat.
That's been on the schedule all along. It's the 5th Monday.
That's mini retreat night. Yep. So, but you would start it with setting the levy, special city council meeting. The Thursday prior to that, which is about the 26th, that's a special finance committee meeting, which invites the rest of the city council to participate in the discussion and...
To get the information.
To get the information. And then the finance committee out of the 26th would recommend on the 30th, the special city council meeting, to set the levy at...
Right.
X.
We would actually make a motion on the 26th to set the levy at XYZ.
Okay. So if I have it straight, let's say there's a possibility, because we've just heard this date, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's say only 6 city council people can make it on Thursday the 26th. Mm-hmm. We're still going to have to explain to the other 2 then on the 30th.
Yes.
That couldn't make the meeting during that vote.
Yes, however, that information on the discussion would be available to them prior to Monday.
If they wanted to review it. Okay. Another question.
Yep.
The mayor made a comment that we're doing something different than what we've done before. That this the proposed budget is a different process that we've ever done before.
I didn't understand why he said that, because... The committee structure always did it that it was presented to the finance committee with the full council. But the last couple of years, we've been in a work session mode, and it was presented to all of us in a work session. So I wasn't sure what he was alluding to with that.
Well, I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but I felt like it was more alluding to the fact this is different than what we've done the last couple of years.
But it actually is the same as what
we
did the last.
But it's the same as what we have been doing.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
2 years prior?
And so
that's 5 years ago, this is the way we would have done it?
Yes. When?
So the reason that it ended up that way is we had talked about a special finance meeting on the 12th. I felt that the full council should have the opportunity to hear that information prior to making a decision on the levy.
Right. Okay.
And so we had option 1, to have the special finance committee meeting on the 12th, or option two was presented at the beginning of the council meeting for everyone to hear, and then we would have a finance meeting after that. We would not make the decision on the night that we heard the information.
He might also
on the levy.
Right, it would just be a presentation.
We would not make a decision on the preliminary levy on the night that we hear the information.
Okay.
And he might have been alluding in my discussions with him. I think he was thinking that he would present, how it started out with, he was going to present to the finance committee.
Yes.
And now he's presenting to the city council. So,
which I feel is correct. I mean, it didn't make sense to just give it to us first.
Is different than what we're doing. And so you have the month of September plan, mm-hmm. or you have the last couple of years. It's different than the last couple of years.
Okay, I get that, because we didn't have committee meetings. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought he was alluding to it was different than, say, it had been done 4 years ago. And I thought, okay, why?
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever, yeah.
And my assumption is, and I don't know this, Brian, but he is presenting it to us and there will not be discussion, or he's presenting it to us and council members can ask him questions. I'm not sure which way that's going to be.
I think it could go either way on that. He's gonna present it to you. If you have questions, Steve and I and he will be there. But I think really it's not a full-blown, in-depth, this is going to take 2 hour kind of discussion. This is just, here it is. You're going to have two finance meetings.
But I would like clarification of his expectations on that, because I think it sets a different stage. And I'm fine if it's just a presentation, here's the information, and then we go into the city council meeting.
Yep.
That's fine. I'm fine with that. I just think that it should be set up so we know, are we going to be asking questions then, or are we just taking the information to ask questions later?
You want to touch base with them on that?
I will do that. I would, based on our meetings and conversations with him, would expect that he will not release it probably before his presentation. I think that's what my impression was. So it's not like
in the years past we've gotten it ahead of time.
Yeah, we have. It's been in the...
Well, and again, I think he's saying this is different than what, you know, there's multiple levels, so this might be different.
Yeah. Okay, so I just want to clarify, releasing it is two different things, because he does a PowerPoint presentation, which has the highlights.
That's the presentation that I'm understanding
that's
is
released,
planned for the 16th.
Okay. But the actual budget was given to us in a Dropbox.
Yeah, and that will be, from my understanding, the same procedure and availability. Yeah.
But I do believe once he does that, it needs to be public.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to get a big three-ring binder.
Well, that's up for debate, I think.
That's up for
I think
direction.
It's up for what people want.
Oh.
Some people can see paper better than other people.
Got it.
I'm one of those people.
So is that
something? I can see a screen, and it don't mean as much as if I see it on paper.
Right. And I will say I struggle with financial worksheets, Excel worksheets on iPad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so maybe we need to leave it to ask the council, do they want it in paper form or not?
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead.
Question. Mm-hmm. So if you're not on the finance committee, if you're a city council person that's not on finance, when do you get a chance to ask questions?
The 26th, the same way we're going to.
Okay.
But the decision comes back to the table to the finance.
So let me see where we're at. 16th, we're going to get the information.
What
are we doing on the 19th?
You can start, if you've had an opportunity, to look at it in 3 days, you can start doing your analysis or asking questions or whatever. And it just kind of flows into the 26th.
Or have further discussion about how you want to proceed up through the truth and taxation hearing, the first meeting in December. What process do you want?
What are we going to do after that? Because all we're accomplishing by the end of September is setting the primary level.
Do you still want to have presentations and PowerPoints at the fire station?
No.
Do we want public input?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be at the fire station. How are we presenting this? Yeah. How are we going to review it, and what do we want to do?
Yeah, that's what we're discussing on the 19th.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, 26th, full council has the opportunity to talk about
And the,
what's in there, and if we have to have a levy. 30th, we vote?
Vote on the preliminary levy only.
We have to set the levy.
Yep.
Yep, that will be the only action on the 30th is the preliminary levy. The final budget action, again, if we look at the 21st, we are recommending again inviting the full council prior to the truth and taxation hearing where the final budget and the final levy action will be requested.
On the 21st of
November. On the 21st of November, which is a Thursday, yep. That would be...
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm still going to go back and ask the question about the audit. Do you have any thoughts on how we should do that? Should we do it?
The only time the audit, I think, is going to come into play is just when we sit there and talk about what money's available.
On the fund balance, and there's a footnote that we brought and had those discussions here. It's in the footnotes that was provided to you, or the Finance Committee, at our last meeting, just to give you, you know, sections of it.
What if we ask him to come to the finance meeting on the 19th?
He's indicated that is available.
And then come to the city council meeting on the, if there's any questions from the full council. Or how have we done it before?
Well, prior to the work sessions, he'd come to the finance committee and only the finance.
And that was it?
Yeah.
So we don't have an obligation to take the audit to the full council?
No, there's no findings. It's out. I believe we've posted it already on the website.
Yep.
We talked about it at not in detail, but we can certainly take some action and put more detail in the 19th. Certainly the minutes will be in more detail.
Should we just do that then on the 19th?
And then
the finance committee and then...
If the full council then, after your report to them on the 19th minutes, wants him to come, I mean, we can.
But we don't have to schedule it. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. Yeah. Everybody good with that?
I mean, there's two things that Brian, I mean, first of all, the fund balance. No recommendation to spend down that as there was for this year. And then actual to budget comparison might have some influence on your thoughts and discussions as far as setting budgets. I believe we're at 99.1 on estimated revenues and 99.2 on appropriations. So we're very tight on the budgets.
It's amazing.
The available revenues are somewhat limited, and we've talked about that. I mean, as far as what you can do, and that's why we're kind of bringing something from Brian when he's come here as far as what does 1% increase on the mill, how much does that generate? And then what's being proposed by the mayor as far as any kind of increase and so.
And hopefully by then we'll have the assessed value increase in the community. So if we say it's the mayor's is 5% increase, but when you apply it across the tax base, it's only a 3% increase, realistically. I mean, the actual truth of the matter is.
Mm-hmm.
And so then if you say, God, but here's something that we really, 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 really want to do, and it's going to add 0.75%. You know, and you're like, well, that's going to be like maybe $100,000. So, do you want to or not, or do you go back and cut something that's in the budget $100,000 so you can bring in something that you deem as more important?
Okay,
that's up to you guys.
In the end, it's a council decision. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. So. We will receive the budget on the 16th. We will have our finance meeting and hear the audit, the report, first of all. And then we will discuss the proposed 2020 budget and schedule in the future and other set the stage for our special meeting that we will ask everyone to come to.
Yep.
But it will be a finance committee meeting. I forgot. Robert told me how it's
special finance committee meeting.
Yep. You guys got that.
Mm-hmm. At what time on the 26th?
Regular
5:15?
Yep.
And then, okay, so then the 30th is what?
The 30th is the fifth Friday, where we're scheduled to do a retreat or a...
It's the 5 o'clock to 5:15, grab a sandwich, and then 5:15 we'll have the city council meeting for as long as it takes to adopt and set the preliminary levy, and then that meeting will conclude, and then the...
Retreat or whatever.
Mini retreat would start with the topics that come after that you want to discuss.
Do we know what those topics are?
The mayor had City Hall. Maybe what, you know, I asked John today, I said, don't you have a document of what you, you know, what your needs are, what your facility needs are? That might be something that we should probably review, because I need to review that to describe the City Hall, and I need community center stuff to be able to put that in the construction manager and the architect documents to be able to say this is the project. And so the mayor was saying that the budget was the one thing, but then the City Hall was the other, and the third one, I've got to call into the city attorney to verify that we can even do it. So no sense in talking about it if you can't do it.
It would be nice if we're going to talk about City Hall. I think one of the questions that I had when we started this conversation is what's going to be in City Hall? Are we looking at consolidating anything? Are we going to be renters? Is that the kind of things you're talking about before we...
I think it's whatever questions you have. Because
to be able to have that dialogue, is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
I think City Hall is the broad category, and the questions you have are whatever they are.
All right.
After that schedule, I think we should have like every problem solved. then we're finished.
For the month.
Yep. And how many bikes do you have in your garage?
Yeah. And you're going to buy another one.
I have all that I need.
Okay. You're never finished.
All right. Any other future agenda items or concerns or questions? All right. We reviewed the schedule. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
Thank you. We are adjourned.
I want to give you the motion.